You're listening to the Favorite Marriage Podcast, a place where you and your spouse can experience God's favor on your forever. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Favorite Marriage Podcast. We are your hosts, Monty and Janine Mora, and today we're going to be producing an exclusive episode, a Good Friday reflection. And we really believe, because of the meaning of this day, how it can have a lot of impact and profound impact upon marriage and our life just personally.
Right, absolutely. We couldn't pass up this opportunity. So we hope you're able to tune in today. And if not, if you're hearing this episode on another day and it's not Good Friday, it's okay, because these marriage nuggets that we are going to share are applicable to any season.
You know, when you look at the whole story of Resurrection weekend, you know, the Good Friday to the Saturday into the Sunday, you're going to see a lot of benefits that we as humans receive from Christ because of what he did for us. And so what we want to do today is take some of those spiritual nuggets and apply them to our life, and more importantly, even to like our marriage relationship. And so wanted to share a few of those nuggets with you. One of the benefits that we have because of what Christ did, because of his death and because of his resurrection, we see that because of his suffering, there is also an element of love and redemption that has taken place because of what Christ did for us. That's one huge benefit. And you think about that in the context of marriage, you know, because of what Christ did for us, our suffering and our pain that we go through in marriage, it can really produce an amazing amount of love when we learn how to draw that love from the Lord.
Right. Well, when you think about what kept Jesus on the cross, what kept him on the journey to the cross, right? Like, I mean, it started from the moment he was arrested. I mean, probably even before that, when he was betrayed and then arrested, and then all the things that he went through even before he got on top of Calvary, the humiliation. He stayed in it because of his love for us, that immense love that he has for us. So in the same way with marriage, when we are struggling, when we're suffering, when we are sacrificially loving our spouse, we are taking that example of our Savior, and we're applying that same staying power to our marriage.
Yeah. And you think about his sacrificial love, Janine, and I automatically think to the scripture in Ephesians 5:25, where it speaks to husbands loving their wives as Christ loved the church. And it's that same love, that self-giving love that Christ gave for us, that as husbands, we are to give to our spouse. And so we see a lot of parallels with what Christ did for us on this amazing weekend and how it parallels to our life in, in the married life.
Yeah.
One of the other things is the resurrection. You know, his resurrection produced life for us. So when he rose from the grave, it brought about eternal life for us. We have victory with him. And that's an amazing benefit too, that we have also, not just in life, but in marriage in general. I know at one point in our life, we felt our marriage was dead. Like it was in a very dark, deep place. But because of what Christ did, he rose our marriage from the dead, from a dead place. And he brought it back to life again.
Yes, he did.
And that's another benefit that we have as couples, that it doesn't really matter, you know, how dark or how deep or how dead you feel your marriage is. With the power of God, God can bring that marriage back to life again.
Amen. Yes, he can. And we are here as a testimony to that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So let's take our viewers on a journey.
Let's do it.
From when Christ picked up the cross, when they gave him the cross and they said, carry your cross. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Because we are asked the same thing to do on a daily basis, right? Like, pick up our cross and follow him. And when we do that, when we pick up the cross, what is that a symbolization of?
The cross is symbolizing of sacrifice, denial, crucifixion, death to self.
So dying to self, right? And that's what we do when we are at the altar and we say, I do, we're dying to just us, ourself, and we are joining together as a husband and a wife in one flesh relationship. So it's not always about me anymore. Mm-hmm. And I like the all the different symbolizations of that unity piece that is done in marriages,
yeah,
or in the weddings. So for us, we did the candle lighting, right? Mm-hmm. So it's no longer just us and we join together. We've seen the sand where they join, you know, the two separate, and it's no longer just the two separate colors, but they join them together. So it's a denial of just thinking of self, right? Sure. Denying to self and becoming one flesh.
Yeah. And that's what Christ did when he was carrying that cross, mm-hmm, to Calvary. He was literally dying to his own desires, his own will.
Right.
Even going back to the garden where he said, not my will be done, but your will be done. So there was a death to his own self, his own desire, mm-hmm, for the good of humanity so that humanity can, yeah, partake of the ultimate blessing of, yeah, salvation.
I love that you brought that up, Monty, because I just thought about maybe there's some people out there who are not married, mm-hmm, and they are thinking about marriage. That mm-hmm all started in the garden. The journey to the cross started in the garden. Where Jesus was praying to his Father for not his will, but for his Father's will to be done. Mm-hmm. So if you are finding yourself in a place where you are seeking a husband or a wife, mm-hmm, start in the garden.
Start in the garden.
Pray to God and ask him, not my will, but your will be done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where the denial began.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where it can begin for couples, even if they're not even married today.
Yeah, even just dating.
Yeah. You know what I love about the journey to the cross, Janine, and we were talking about this earlier, is one man that the Roman soldiers found, his name was Simon from, mm-hmm, Cyrene.
Yes.
And the Bible says that they forced Simon, mm-hmm, to carry the cross of Christ as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we like that analogy because of how, as married couples, we're to bear each other's cross, mm-hmm, burdens, right?
Yeah. So that's bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ.
Yeah.
Galatians 6:2.
Galatians 6:2. Yeah. Yeah.
I love that scripture because many times in marriage, you have helped me carry my cross, you know, and you've helped me and I've helped you carry one another's cross.
Yeah, we've reciprocated that.
There you go. You know what I was trying to say. Yeah. But yeah. And that's all a part about being married, is we're not in it alone. Mm-hmm. Even Jesus needed help carrying his cross to Calvary.
Yeah. Yeah. So husbands and wives, as you're, mm-hmm, in the marriage journey together, you're not only carrying your own cross, but you got to really dive in and help carry the cross that your spouse is carrying as well. And like Janine said, thus fulfill the law of Christ, mm-hmm, when we carry each other's burdens. And so that's huge. And I think that's a really great picture of what, yeah, Christ was, how Simon came alongside of Christ, yeah, to help him, and how husband and wife can come alongside each other and help each other carry their cross.
Right. And I think it's just so important because so many times in marriage, we find ourselves not wanting to burden our spouse.
Mm.
Like, I don't want to burden you with this, you know, and I think of like even just the struggle, like physically, like some of the things that I've been going through. And I tell you, I want to share all of these things with you all the time because I feel like I'm burdening you. And when you come next to me and you say, I am your husband, I'm here to support you. Mm-hmm. We are one. We are going through this together. That means the world to me.
Mm.
That, and then just shows me how much you care and you love me and reminds me that we're one flesh.
Mm-hmm.
What you go through, I go through, and what I go through, you go through.
Yeah, that's it. We're in it. We're a team.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. So as Christ was journeying to the cross, being helped by Simon of Cyrene as, yeah, he carried the cross, they got to the place of Calvary, and there is where we see that he experienced a lot of suffering,
yeah,
a lot of pain. But something interesting, a few details I think most people miss happened while Jesus was on the cross.
Yeah. Well, there's the obvious that most everyone knows, that he was pierced in his hands, feet, and side.
Yeah.
You know, there was all the mockery that was taking place. There were, you know, all of these things happening. But this last week when we were reading through that, something really stood out to us. And mm-hmm. I think it's going to be something that our viewers, our listeners can really take and apply to marriage.
Yeah. And what we're talking about is there was some gambling taking place.
Yeah.
We would like to call it the gamble.
Right.
And the gamble that took place was over Christ's garments mm-hmm. that he had. And what's so neat about this tiny little detail yeah. that most people miss is it was a detail that was prophesied 1,000 years earlier by King David in the book of Psalms. And
yeah, yeah.
I know you have that scripture ready to go, but
right, yeah,
let's talk about that. That's amazing.
Well, first of all, when we were reading it, and I was thinking, you know, we've heard this story so many times, and we knew that they gambled for his clothing, his garments. And I started thinking, why? Mm. You know, Jesus's garments, like, first of all, they hated him. Second of all, they were probably ripped, torn, dirty, full of blood. Like, who would want those garments? I did a little research, and I found out that this was something that was done by soldiers as a normal practice. When they crucified. People on the cross, they would gamble for their possessions. And so then I thought, well, Jesus did not have possessions. You know, he didn't have a home. He didn't have a place to lie his head, the Bible says. So, like, what were they really gambling for? And I think what really stood out to me is, like, okay, so if he didn't have possessions, then what were they going to split amongst each other? But we actually can read, Monty, what I read in 1 Peter chapter 2, where it actually says that, but you are not like that. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation. God is God's very own possession. Mm. We are his possession, right? So we'll get back to that in a second, but like you were saying in Psalm 22:16, it says, my enemies surrounded me like a pack of dogs. An evil gang closes in on me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. My enemies stare at me and gloat. And here it is. They divide my garments among themselves and throw dice for my clothing. So when we read about the actual happenings of the crucifixion, in Matthew, it says, after they had nailed him to the cross, the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice, then sat around and kept guard as he hung there.
That tiny little detail right there. Little did the soldiers realize that as they did that, they were participating in prophetic plan, mm-hmm. in a prophecy that David spoke about 1,000 years earlier.
Yeah.
To think about the power of how God is in the details. God's yeah. in the plan.
Right. If you think about the soldiers' motive, it was to mock and ridicule and humiliate yeah. Jesus on the cross. Yeah. And if you think about when we go back to who is Christ's possession, who's God's possession, we read in 1 Peter, it's us. Mm-hmm. So every time we bow down to the enemy's temptations, we're taking the dice and putting them in our own hands. We're acting as the soldiers. And so we think about that in marriage. Every time we take the dice of marriage in our own hands and we begin to gamble with God's possessions, we are acting as the soldiers did at the foot of the cross.
Yeah.
And that is a mockery, right? So think about that. I mean, this is really deep, and it's actually very convicting. And the gamble could be very little, like, oh, I just bought a lottery ticket, like that. We think that's a small gamble, right? And I'm just using an analogy of small gambling versus big gambling. Or you're at the high stake tables in Las Vegas. Little gambles and big gambles, they're still gambling. So whether you are gambling in your marriage by choosing not to be transparent to your spouse, right? If you choose to lie, if you choose to click, right? And fall into that temptation of pornography, or you flirt, flirt a little more, flirt, and you fall into that temptation of just flirting with someone else who's not your spouse. Like, those things are, you're gambling with marriage, with your marriage.
Yeah, and you think about Janine, you know, there's a saying that people have said that marriage is a gamble. But the gambling you're talking about, that you just referenced, right, is not the right type of gamble, you know.
Right.
Marriage is a risk. Whenever anybody gets married, there's a risk because there's uncertainty there.
Mm-hmm.
But the amazing thing is when that couple follows the design of God, God's plan for marriage,
mm-hmm,
God's in that gamble with them.
Right.
God's in that detail with them. And before you know it, you know, as the couple continues in their marriage, they realize that, hey, my marriage is not a gamble. My marriage, it's a gift.
Yeah.
It's a gift that God has given to us because we're following his design and we're experiencing his favor upon our marriage.
Mm-hmm. And he has a plan for us. Just like the whole, you know, story of Calvary, every little piece of that story, the details in it, they all happen for a reason. Mm-hmm. And so whatever you're going through in your marriage, all the details, when we give them over to God, mm-hmm, and allow him to use those things to bring about a beautiful purpose, then even when we feel like we're on the cross, you know, being crucified and feeling the pain, we know that there is a Sunday morning coming,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That there is an empty tomb. There is a victory to be said about the trial we're going through.
Yeah. Sunday is on the way.
It is.
Yeah. You think about how dark and how deep the world, society, the disciples,
mm-hmm,
felt, you know, on that Friday night into Saturday. Saturday was very quiet. Just a waiting period.
A lot of mourning.
A lot of mourning. You know, they were doing a lot of preparation. But then Sunday came.
Yes.
But then Sunday came, and it was there when they went to the tomb, and they realized that the stone of the tomb was rolled away,
mm-hmm,
and they walked into the tomb, and they found the tomb to be emptied because Christ, by the power of God, mm-hmm, was raised from the grave.
Yes.
And that's the victory that we have as Christians, as those who are faith-based. And we can also take that very resurrection of Christ and apply it to our life, mm-hmm, our marriage,
yeah,
to where if you might feel like your marriage is in a Friday right now, it's very dark, it's very pain-filled, suffering. We want to encourage you that your Sunday, you can have a Sunday,
yes,
resurrection in your own marriage relationship.
Right. And we want to encourage you. We only touched a very little part of this story and this foundational story. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's not just story. I mean, it's facts. Like, this happened. Christ,
yeah,
did this for us. This is why we live. This is why we do what we do. But if you go back and just read and look for all the details,
mm-hmm,
and we just wanted to point out that one small detail, but there's so many more that you can apply to your marriage. And you know, the cross of Christ, it represents so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything that he's done for us.
Yeah. Yeah. So as a husband and wife, as you're reflecting and living out this amazing weekend, today we're calling it Good Friday. You, mm-hmm, know, many have called it Black Friday. Many have called it Great Friday. Whatever the case may be, we like the idea of Good Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the reason why. I want to read a final scripture, then we want to have a word of prayer with you all. But it's in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And think about in context of everything we've been talking about. Romans 8, 28 says, "For all things work together for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose." We see that even in Romans 28, whatever your marriage has gone through, as you follow Christ, as you follow his purpose, God can turn that marriage situation into something so very good.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage is good,
yes,
because God is good.
Amen.
And today we want you to have a Good Friday.
Yes. Can we pray?
Let's have a word of prayer. If you're hearing us on the podcast, or if you're joining us on our YouTube channel, We want to pray for all of you here today. Yes. Father, we remember this day and the pain and the suffering of the cross and all that Jesus was willing to endure so that we could be set free. We thank you that he paid the price, such a great sacrifice, to offer us the gift of eternal life. Father, we ask you that you would help us to not take for granted this huge gift of love that he displayed on our behalf. Help us to be mindful of the cross and the cost of it all. Lord, we ask you to forgive us for being sometimes too busy or even distracted by other things and not fully recognizing what you've given to us, even as a married couple. But today, Lord, we thank you that by your wounds we are healed.
Yes.
And because of your huge sacrifice, we have the ability to have eternal life. Thank you that the sin and the death has been conquered by the cross of Christ, and we can have everlasting life. We ask today your blessing upon our marriage, upon these marriages today, and we thank you for your amazing love.
And Lord, we ask that, as your word says, all these things, we ask that all the things, Lord, that you went through from the garden to the tomb, that we would reflect on these over the weekend, that you would instill just revelation into the people who just dive into your word, your children who desire to know more about your word and all the things that you did for us. May it just be a new and profound finding in their study and just diving deep into knowing you, Lord. We pray this for our viewers, our listeners, and for marriages across the globe. Lord, you have so much in store for us, and we pray that we would not miss out on any part. And again, Lord, we just ask for your forgiveness. If, Lord, we have taken the dice in our own hands and we've gambled with our marriage, we've done things that have hurt one another, we've done things that have hurt your heart, and we put it under the blood today. We thank you that all of that has been crucified on the cross. You died for our sins. You were pierced. You were beaten. You were bruised for all of our iniquities. And we just thank you for all of these things, Lord. We ask this in the mighty and matchless name of our Savior. Amen.
Well, folks, we pray that you have a blessed resurrection weekend. And as always, we pray that you would experience God's favor
on your forever.
Thanks for listening to The Favorite Marriage, where you and your spouse can experience God's favor on your forever. If you enjoy this resource, please leave us a review and share it with your friends. We'll see you next time on The Favorite Marriage Podcast.